Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Yom Daf Zayin, finishing our first week of the Masechta. The Gemara has been very organized in terms of the number of topics it's discussed so far, and that's one topic. So today we continue with that topic, and we'll be here for just a couple more days. The topic has been Hafrasha, the Kohen Gadol, prior to Yom Kippur, so he needs to meditate. Now I don't know if that's true. I may just take that back, but but he needs to separate that. Okay, that I could say. he needs to separate that we know. So there's a din of Afrasha. The Mishnah told us in the beginning of the Masechta that for 7 days prior to Yom Kippur, so he has to be mafresh. Why does he have to be mafresh? So that we've also seen now a number of times. The Gemara and Daf Beis and Daf Gimel of Daf Dalid all speak to this idea that the reason why he has to be mafresh is based on two possibilities. Either Rav Yochanan or Reish Lakish is a position. Rav Yochanan says that he has to be mafresh based on the Meluim, and the inauguration of the Mishkan in the Midbar. So the Kohen Gadol, together with his four sons, went through Hafrasha, went through a period of separation for a week, the Shivas Yimei Meluim, which culminated in the Hakamas HaMishkan on the first day of Nisan. So therefore, and there's a pasuk that's mentioned over there in the Meluim, that just like you're going to be doing for the Meluim, so too you'll be doing for future generations as well. And although the Gemara, the Torah doesn't say that it's referring to Yom Kippur, the Gemara spends a day or two coming to the conclusion that's talking about Yom Kippur. The other positions, Reish Lakish says that this din of Hafrasha comes from Sinai. As to Sinai, there were 6 days where Moshe went into a period of Hafrasha, and then after that state of Hafrasha, he then went to have a one-on-one with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara notes that 6 days, that's not 7 days, Reish Lakish. If Reish Lakish is correct, it would result in a 6-day Hafrasha, not a 7-day Hafrasha. So the Gemara says, well, you also have to take into consideration Tumas Beis, though. Tumas Beis leads us to yesterday's daf. Yesterday's daf, the Gemara asked a very simple question. What is Tumas Beis? What are we concerned about? So to which the Gemara answered yesterday, to reduce yesterday's Gemara to basically a couple sentences, Tumas Beis means that it's possible that he'll have relations with his wife, and she will be Poritz Nida. She will become a Nida during the relations. He will therefore be a Bol Nida. And a bol Nida is tummy for 7 days. And so therefore, in order to avoid that issue, to avoid that problem, so therefore, Hafrasha from his wife for 7 days, even if we're going to learn it from Sinai, which is 6 days, we're going to add another day because of Tumas Beis. Which also explains, as the Gemara pointed out yesterday, a din in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Mafrishin Kohen Gadol mi Beis. We separate the Kohen Gadol from his wife, meaning that when he goes into this period of separation, so he can't bring his wife with him. So why not? So that's what we discussed in yesterday's daf, because of Tumas Beis, because for fear that they will, that he'll become a Bol Nida, and not on purpose, obviously, as the Gemara pointed out yesterday. We're not talking about Rishayim, we're talking about the Kohen Gadol. But in other words, by accident, it doesn't matter. In other words, when it comes to Tumah, there's no mazed shogeg, it doesn't matter. He has relations with her, she's a Nida, and he'll be a Boel Nida, and therefore he'll be tummy for 7 days. Adkan, that took us through basically yesterday's daf. That was daf Vav. Now we move on to daf Zayin. Now we're on Vav Amid Beis, and we are now entertaining another question, and that is, you know, he's allowed visitation during the 7 days of Hafrasha, so he can have his friends come over, and as the way I described yesterday, have a cup of coffee with him. That's fine. That's not a problem. So the Gemara says, why aren't we worried? Let's be concerned that during the cup of coffee, so his friend's going to die. And now the Kohen Gadol is going to be in a situation where he'll obviously be a Tamei Meis. And so why not be concerned with death? So that was the Gemara's question yesterday. So the Gemara had a fundamental answer and another fundamental answer. But the Gemara had two responses to this question. Let's see the Gemara inside. We're in Vav Amud Beis. I'll start again from the beginning of the sugya. It's 7 lines down from the top of the Amud. When does the Gemara, why are we worried about Tumas Beis, the way I described it, where he's sitting with his friend who's visiting him during his Yimei Hafrasha, and his friend dies, and now we're in a situation where the Kohen's Tamei Meis. I'm Rav Tachlif, Abu Deravuna, Mishmei Deravuz, Zosameris, Tumas Beis, Hachibit Sibor. So the Gemara says, this is one answer, and this is a very fundamental answer. Well, so what? Meaning, let's say he becomes Tamei. Tumah Hutra B'Tzibor. So we have this rule that when it comes to Karban Tzibor, even though the Kohen Gadol's Tamei, or the majority of the Kohanim are Tamei, or the majority of the Jewish people are Tamei, in such a situation, you're still allowed to bring the Karban Tzibor because of this principle of Tumah Hutra B'Tzibor. How do we know about Tumah Hutra B'Tzibor? So we just came off of Masechta Pesachim, I know, with a little shkal and break, but we just came off from Masechta Pesachim, but Pesach is the source for Tumah Shel Betzibur. Because the Torah tells us that ish, that if an individual is Tamei, or Hayav Ederech Rechoka, so therefore you get pushed off to Pesach Sheni. And the Gemara Pesachim says that's ish, that's if individuals are a minority of the Jewish people are Tamei. But what if the majority of the Jewish people are Tamei? So you bring Karban Pesach in a state of Tumah. So we know that when it comes to a carbon seabor, so you bring in a state of tumah. Well, the Gemara over here is arguing is one step more than that, meaning not only to bring a carbon seabor in a state of tumah, but tumah hutra b'tzibor, what does that mean? It means that even when a Kohen Gadol, in this case, by the way, just to note a general distinction between the case of Pesach and our case, although it's not really a distinction. In the case of Pesach, we're talking about the Jewish people becoming tumah. Here we're talking about the Kohen Gadol being tumah. So it's not the majority of the Jewish people. That's a distinction, but it doesn't matter. The science doesn't make a difference. The reason being is because on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol is doing the Avoda. So the entire Avoda rests on his shoulders. So therefore, him becoming Tamei is like, it's tantamount to the entire Jewish people becoming Tamei. So just sidestepping that issue, it's not an issue. It's one and the same. So what the Gemara is saying over here is Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur. Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur means is that if the Kohen becomes Tamei, it doesn't matter at all. Meaning that the Torah's allowance for the Kohen Gadol to offer the Karbanos of Yom Kippur in a state of Tumah is a total allowance. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Hushi b'tzibur ki dechsiv ish nitche vein tzibur nitche. So Rashi quotes the Gemara in Pesachim. Rashi quotes the Pesachim regarding Pesach Sheni. Over Yom Kippurim kulei karban tzibur. Now in Yom Kippur it's all karban tzibur. V'av karban shalo doches tumah. And even his karban. Rashi is funny over here because Rashi knows that there's a small problem, and that is that not every carbon is a carbon tzibur on Yom Kippur. There's a paran oil that is brought by the Kohen Gadol, funded by his own personal funds, and it's not really a carbon tzibur. But Rashi says, but it's included. It's included in this discussion, even though that's not a carbon tzibur. But we could say it very simply. Okay, it may not be public money paying for it, but without it, though, the avod is not going to work. You need the par in the aisle. So, okay, so Rashi is acknowledging it's an issue, but Rashi just simply says it works. Good. So that's if you all are under the assumption of Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur. Now we go back to our question. Our question in the Gemara was, aren't we afraid someone's going to die? And the answer is, God forbid, but if it happens, it's not a big deal. Meaning, not the death. The death is a big deal. But the fact that the Kohen becomes Tamei, it's fine. Tamei Hutra B'Tzibur. Okay. No, because, yeah, good question, but the answer is because when it comes to Nida, that's a different type of Tumah. The allowance of Tamei Hutra B'Tzibur is only for Tumas Meis, not for other types of Tumah. The reason why we know that is because we go back to our prototype, the model, which is Pesach. By Pesach, they were Tamei Meis. The Torah says. So that's it. This heter only works for Tumas Meis, not for other types of Tumah. Okay, so that's answer number one of the Gemara. The Gemara says Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur. Let's give another answer in the Gemara. So, Ravina Amar, I feel Tumas Meis, Dechuyi B'Tzibur. You don't have to say Hutra. You could say Dechuyi. Now, it's funny. Dechuyi really results in the same, right? Meaning, if we say Tumah Dechuyi B'Tzibur, it means that we push off Tumah so that we can allow a carbon to be brought. So what's the difference between Hutra versus Dechuya? So those who have gone to yeshiva have heard this time and again. The difference between Hutra and Dechuya means, Hutra means it's totally mutter. It's like there's no issue whatsoever. Dechuya means it's okay, but, to give very classic yeshiva terminology. Right, we'd rather not. Right, disgruntled look when you say Tumah Dechuya B'Tzibur. In fact, so let's tell you, in fact, oh, very good. Hold on one second. Dechuyi b'tzibur. In fact, take a look at the next Rashi. Rashi writes, Afa pisha karban tzibur docha osa bekoshi hutra. Rashi writes, it's difficult. Meaning, yeah, I'll allow it, but begrudgingly. So velo heter gamer v'chomad matzina ladur mahadrina shiyase b'tahara, and that means is that if there's an escape hatch, if there's a way of bringing the carbon in a state of tahara, we'd much rather do it in a state of tahara than in a state of toma. So that's a big difference between toma hutra b'tzibor versus toma dechuya b'tzibor. So in toma hutra b'tzibor, we're not fine. With toma, it's fine. Dechuya b'tzibor, let's see if we can find another avenue. We'll allow it, but bekoshi. If there's another way to do it, let's see if we can do another way in a state of tahara. And so therefore, if Ravina says tuma dechuya b'tzibor, so why not be concerned that during the coffee visit, the guy's going to die right next to the Kohen Gadol? And the answer is, and intuitively, I think everyone saw this answer coming. I feel tama tumas ames dechuya b'tzibor, tumas ames lo shchicha, tumas beis lo shchicha. Look, someone dying while visiting him, very unlikely. Terribly unlikely. Not enough concern, statistically not enough concern so that we're going to stop people from visiting him. But his wife become a nida, although truth be told, that's also not likely that during Tashmish she'll become a nida, but still, that's a greater possibility than that of somebody dying right on him. Itmar, and this now brings us into today's daf, and this is really our big topic for today. Our topic for today is exactly this issue. Tumas ames, Rav Nachman amar hutra b'tzibor, Rav Sheshes amar dechuya b'tzibor. So this question of whether or not tumas hutra b'tzibor dechuya turns into a machlokas amarayim between Rav Nachman versus Rav Sheshes. Rav Nachman will take the position of tumas hutra b'tzibor. So again, that means that there's no issue whatsoever. And even if the Kohen Gadol's Tameh, he could do the Avodah of Yom Kippur with no qualms, as opposed to Rav Sheshes of the opinion that Tumas Dechuya B'Tzibor. Now, the Gemara is going to try, before we go through the proofs, meaning most of today is going to be Mishnayos and Braisos, which is going to try to prove one way or another. But before all that, the Gemara is going to try to see if we can modify this Machlokas just a little bit, just try to give some sort of frame around this machlokas. So, hey, chadika, tamein mutahorin ba'i beisav, kuleyama lo pligita tor navde, tamein lo avde. So, let's say we have a beisav. Now, remember how everything is organized amongst the Kohanim? On a weekly basis, you have what's called a mishmar. A mishmar, there are 24 mishmaros. Each mishmar is a group of Kohanim, a number of families that are all part of one mishmar. They're going to be doing the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash for 1 week. Then the next week will be a second mishmar, and you just keep rotating through the 24 mishmaros. And then on the 25th week, odapam, choser, and you go for the first mishmar, second mishmar. So by the end of the year, basically your mishmar is going to be doing the avoda 2 weeks a year. That's a mishmar. Then each mishmar is then further subdivided into what's called the beis av. Six beis avos. Now, a week is made up of 7 days. That's not a big deal, because on Shabbos, they all come back and they all do the avoda on Shabbos. So each day is then broken up into a beis av. Six bati avos. So the Gemara says, look, if let's say within the beis av, so that means that it's the group of the mishmar who's planning on working today. Within the Beis Av, I have some Kohanim or Tameh, and some Kohanim or Taharim. Even if I hold Tuma Hutra B'Tzibor, let's turn to the people who are Tahar. Let's ask the people that are Tahar.
But that doesn't follow the principle of Hutra. That's Duchi.
So I would have said that, and I hear you're saying that. The Gemara is not saying that. Meaning what the Gemara is trying to argue now is that even if it's Hutra, but let's see if we could still go with. In other words, there's no real expense, extra expense. The beis av is here. They're ready to do the avoda. Happens to be that right now I can get a guy who's tower from this beis av. Okay, you can hold your argument, and I'll tell you why you can hold on to your argument in just a moment. So akuli amalo pligi de tahor navdi tamein lo avdi ki pligi la adur la suy tahor min beis av achrina. However, what if we have to now draw from another beis av? Meaning today is Sunday. In today's Beis Av, nobody's Tahor. Every one of them is Tameh. So do I now have to go to Monday's Beis Av and say, look, guys, we here, we're all Tameh. Can you, I know you're tomorrow, but can one of you do today? Do I need to do that? The Gemara says, that's the machlokus between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. Rav Nachman amar heter hu b'tzibor v'lo madrinan. So Rav Nachman says, it's mutter, heter gamur. So you don't have to chase down another coin from another Beis Av. Rav Shesha Amar Tuchuyi B'tzira Bor Mehadrinan. And Rav Shesha says, no, you chase him down. You go to another Beis Av and you get from another Beis Av. That is all version number one of the Machlok between Rav Nachman and Rav Shesha. Okay? This doesn't appeal to Ben because Ben is arguing, I don't understand. If Tumas Hotcher B'tzibor, so what difference does it make now? So to which the Gemara gives another version, and this allows you to stay firm with your position. Hecha de'ika, ika d'amri. The Gemara brings another version down, which is, afilu hecha de'ika tahorna tamayim ba'i beisav, polag Rav Nachman ba'amar avdi nami tamayim, dechol tumas meis b'tzibor, rachmana sharyei. So even if I have within the beisav, tamay and tahor, so we have this principle of tumah hutra b'tzibor, hutra means hutra, meaning without any qualification. It's mutter, like it's heter legamrei, and so therefore you're allowed to be allowed to get the kohanim who are tamei, sorry, or the kohanim who are tamei to do the avoda, even in that Beis Av. Okay, so two versions of this machlokes between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes as to whether or not tuma hutra b'tzibor, tuma dechuya b'tzibor, and the Gemara says even within the shita of Rav Nachman who says tuma hutra b'tzibor, what if I have within the Beis Av tamei and tahor? So do I have to turn to Tahorim, or do I not have to make any segregation, any differentiation? To which the Gemara says, I can hear both. The Gemara basically presents one of two versions as to whether or not I have to go after just the Tahorim. Okay, Adkan. That is an introduction to the Machlokas of Tumah Hutra, Tumah Dechuya. And now from this point going forward, basically for the rest of today's daf, so we're going to go over Rayas. Raya says to whether Rav Nachman's right, Rav Sheshes is right, Mishnayos, Braisos, we begin. I'm Rav Sheshes. Menamin Alas, Rav Sheshes says, so how do I know? So how do I know that I'm right? That Tumah is Dechuyi B'tzibor, that it just pushed off. So he says, I have a Braisa, Detanya, Hayomer, Omeido Makriv, Minchas Omer, Benit Misbiyado. So let's say I'm bringing the Minchas Omer. Minchas Omer is on the second day of Pesach. The Karban Omer, with the barley offering that is going to allow all grains that were grown over the past year to now be eaten. In other words, it's a transition from making all grains which were chadash now into yashan. So it's done through the havas carbon omer, second day of Pesach. We only know it as now the day where we start Sfiras Omer. But Sfiras Omer really is the day itself. Is really for the carbon omer. So high omer, a makriv minchas omer. So the kohen is actually offering the omer. V'nitmes biyado, and unfortunately, the carbon omer becomes tameh, meaning the actual mincha itself becomes tameh. So omer umevian acher tachtaham. So can you find another? Can you find some more barley? Can we put together another minchas omer? If so, let's try to do that. V'im ein sham elahi. And if this is the only one, Omrim lo have a pikeh chushasok. So we say to the Kohen, now would be an excellent time for you to say nothing. Meaning, be smart, be wise, be quiet. Okay. Fine. And so Ketani Miya, so what do you see over here? In other words, what was our order of operations in terms of the Minchas Omer that becomes Tameh? So Omrim Mivina Cheren Tachta. If we can, let's try to get another one. And if we can't, So then we'll bring it in, and you'll be quiet and okay, and it'll be fine. So what do you see? In other words, this is Tuma, and this is Tuma now Hutra? Doesn't sound like that. Sounds like Techuya. Because before we allow the carbon to be brought, we're gonna search another avenue in which we can bring the carbon omer in a state of Tahara, and then and only then if we can't do it, so then we'll bring in a state of Tuma. So this Mishnah seems to be an excellent support for Rav Sheshes. So I'm Rav Nachman, Modina Hechadika Shiraim Lachila. So Rav Nachman says, I don't think it's excellent support. I'll tell you how I would address this. Rav Nachman says, look, over here there's a mincha. And you're right, it becomes Tameh, and based on the rules of Tumah Hutra B'Tzibor, you'd be allowed to bring it with no problem whatsoever. However, I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem is that with every mincha, not everyone, but with most menachos, what happens is that the kometz is offered up onto the mizbeach, and the shiraim is eaten by the kohanim. Part of the mitzvah of avaz mincha is that you have the kohen eating all the leftovers. Okay. Now, the omer is tameh, so that means then that no kohen would be allowed to eat it. So if I were just left up to the rules of tumah hutra b'tzibor, would I be allowed to bring the carbon? Sure, no problem at all. No hesitation. But the problem then becomes is that we know that there will be Shirayim. Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur allows me to bring the carbon, but Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur does not allow any Kohen to eat the carbon. So we're going to be missing a component of the mitzvah. So Rav Nachman says, you bringing the carbon, no problem whatsoever. No hesitation. But we then know that what we're going to be left with Shirayim, which are Tameh, and then the Kohanim are not going to be eating it. That's why we'll try, if we can, to bring another Omer.
Is it essential for them to eat it?
No. Not essential.
So what?
But that's exactly the rub. Meaning it's not essential for them to eat it. Certainly, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah component, but it's not essential. That's why we'll try to find another Omer. And if we can't find another Omer, we'll bring this one. And we'll tell the Kohen to be quiet. But it has nothing to do with the bringing of the carbon to Mahotra B'tzibur. It's the resulting Shirayim, which will be Tameh, which can't be eaten. That's why we're going to search and look for another Omer if possible. So Rav Nachman says it doesn't upset my position whatsoever, because it's Achila involved over here, and that's why I'm totally with the Braisa. Meisvei, another Braisa, Ayam Akriv Minchas Parim Ve'el Mekvasim V'nit Mesbiyado. The Kohen is offering bulls and rams and sheep, and it becomes Tameh in his hands, Omer, Umevin Acher Tachteha. So once again, if we could bring a substitute carbon, great. V'imein Shana Elahi, Omer Lo Havi Pikechu Shesok. But if this is the only one available, so we say, be quiet. In other words, go ahead and bring it. Now this Braisa is a little nondescript. The Braisa just simply says, what is the Kohen bringing? He's bringing bulls, and he's bringing rams, and he's bringing sheep. Okay, what are we talking about? Meaning, what kind of kabbans are we talking about? Where basically we're saying to him, let's see if we can find a replacement. If we can't find a replacement, so bring this. So, my lab, bar mele mekvasim dechag. So the Gemara says, presumably, while the Braisa is not being descriptal, we'll inject a simple pshat into the Braisa, which is that we're talking about pari achag. The animals, not just pari achag, but right, all the animals of Chag, meaning Musafim. That's what the Braisa is talking about. Or otherwise stated, carbon seabor. We're talking about carbon seabor. And what is the Braisa saying? If we can find another carbon seabor, let's find it. And if not, so then we'll bring this. So what conclusion do you get? So Rav Sheshis will say, perfect. Well, the conclusion you get is my conclusion. Toma dechuyehi b'tzibor. It's pushed off. And if we could find an escape hatch, another avenue, so that we don't have to bring the carbon in a state of etoma, let's do it. Good. So this would be a good proof for Rav Sheshis. Amalacha Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman, to his defense, says, lo. Now, parim par avodah zarah. I will argue that the Braisa being nondescript allows us to give a different shot in the Braisa. Maybe when it says par, it's talking about par avodah zarah. What does that mean, par avodah zarah? If the Jewish people are over to avodah zarah, based on the erroneous ruling of the Beis Din, so then there's a special carbon chatas that's brought. Not your standard carbon chatas, which is either a female sheep or a female goat, but rather a special carbon mentioned in Parsha Shlach, which is a male bull. That's a special chatas that's brought if the Jewish people are over to avodah zarah. So maybe when it's talking about par, it's talking about par avodah zarah. How does that help us?
That's not eaten.
Well, that's not it's eaten. A chatas. So it'll be eaten by the Kohanim.
But that bull for the community is not eaten by
Kohanim. Oh, it's permanent srafim. Your point is very good. Your point is very good, but it's not going to change the pshat of the Gemara. Meaning, how does that help us? It helps us because it's now a carbon that doesn't have kviyas man. It's not a calendaric carbon. The only time that we're going to be talking about tumah hutra b'tzibur, tumah dechuyah b'tzibur, is only for carbon that has man, that is set on the calendar, like the carbon Pesach, like the carbon of Chag. But over here, if we're talking about the par avodah zarah, so you can bring it today, and if you don't bring it today, you'll bring it tomorrow. So in other words, and because it's not set on the calendar, so the rules of tumah hutra b'tzibur, tumah dechuyah b'tzibur simply don't apply. Good. So that's what. So that's the par. That's why we're going to try to find another avenue out. Elim, be'elo delo kviya leizman, mehadrinan. Okay. Be'elo shel Aaron. So when it comes to the aisle, you know which aisle we're talking about? We're talking about the Isle of Aaron. Here the Gemara, it's interesting, you compare the Gemara right here to the Gemara where we started this morning, where here the Gemara says, you know the aisle we're talking about? The Isle of Aaron. Isle of Aaron is not a carbon tzibur. It's a carbon yachid. This rule of Tumah Hutra but tzibur, that's only by carbon tzibur, not a carbon yachid. And Kvasim, Bekeves Abayim HaOmer, Diki Shiraim LaAchila. And when we're talking about Kvasim, we could be talking about the Keves that is associated with the carbon HaOmer, Minchas HaOmer, or back to the point we made earlier, that when it comes to the Minchas HaOmer, we know the Shiraim, we would like the Kohanim to eat the Shiraim. That's why, even if I hold to Mahutra B'tzibur, I'm going to try to find another carbon so that the Kohen can eat the Shiraim. Okay, period. Okay, good. What do we get from here? We get from here again that we could reinterpret the Braisa that's not talking about your standard carbon tzibur that has kviyas man. Therefore, it's therefore we don't have the rules of tumah hutra b'tzibur, and that's why if there's another avenue, we'll accept another avenue. We'll take another avenue. Meitzvei. Another Braisa. Dam shenitma v'zarko. Dam that becomes tame. And I sprinkle it. V'shogeg hurtz b'meizid lo hurtz. Now, if I do a b'meizid, well, let's start, no, let me do it in the right order. Good. If I do a b'shogeg, so that's fine, hurtzah. It reads to it, it gains acceptance. But b'meizid lo hurtzah, but if I do a b'meizid, I know the blood's tame. I don't care, says the Kohen. I'm sprinkling anyway in the mizbeach. It doesn't create a reads to it, it will not work. Okay, just as a small introduction to these gemaras that we're about to see coming up ahead. What are we talking about right now? The efficacy of the tzitz. One of the begadim that's worn by the Kohen Gadol is the tzitz. That is the golden headband that's worn by the Kohen Gadol, where it says Kodesh LaHashem on the headband. And the tzitz is meratzeh. Right? You just keep saying that again and again. And I will not promise you, but give you some assurances that eventually it'll sink in. Not that you and I will understand it, but it'll sink in. When we say that tzitz is meratzeh, that means that the tzitz creates a certain efficacy of carbon, where under normal circumstances, the carbon does not work. It's a disqualification of the carbon. But because of the Kohen's wearing its tzitz, and we'll discuss later this morning, does he actually have to be wearing its tzitz? But if the Kohen is wearing its tzitz, so basically it'll be able to burden and carry the carbon, which under normal circumstances is disqualified. Which disqualification are we talking about? Tumah. We're talking specifically about the disqualification of Tumah. The Gemara will entertain for a quick moment, maybe Pigel, maybe Nosar, to which the Gemara is going to end up saying no and no. We're only talking about the psul of Tumah. Presumably Tumah's mace, although the Gemara doesn't actually say that, but I assume you're right. Now, Dam shenitma, so here in the Braisa, the blood becomes Tameh, and it's sprinkled, so the Braisa makes a distinction between Shogeg versus Mezid. If done by Shogeg, it's okay. You have your tzitz. If it's done by Mezid, well, it's not okay. You don't have a reed suing. Rashi points out over here, just in terms of helping our understanding, there really is no difference between Shogeg and Mezid. Meaning this idea that the tzitz is Meratzeh always will be true. So then why is there a distinction in the Braisa? So Rashi points out, because a person, a Kohen, b'mezid, intentionally sprinkles tummy blood onto the Mizbeach, so to which the Chachamim were so unhappy with that, so they issued a knas, a penalty, where there's no reach, so even though Me'ikar Adin, according to the strict letter of the law, the tzitz will work for that as well. The Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz. But the Kohen Gadol wearing the tzitz will provide an efficacy. It'll help.
It trumps everything.
It will trump not everything, only Tumah. So now, but what do we see over here? So basically what we're seeing, and Rashi explains, so what is the Gemara's argument? Why do I need the tzitz? Right? In other words, if we are subscribing to this viewpoint of Tumah Hutra B'tzibur, So then I need a tzitz to be meratzeh? Why? To which the Gemara's answer is, kitanya hi diachid. Yeah, you're right. If it's a carbon seaborne, if it's kavu azman, so then I'm giving it to you. You don't need the tzitz. I only need the tzitz because in this braisa, it's talking about a carbon yachid. Carbon yachid, we don't have the rules of tumah hutra b'tzibur and tumah dechuya b'tzibur because the rules of tumah hutra b'tzibur is b'tzibur. Only for communal carbonos. This is a private carbon. So now I don't have the rule of Tumah Chubat Tzibur. So what allows acceptance? What gains acceptance? The tzitz. Tashma, the Gemara is going to quote another braisa. Amat tzitz maratzal adam v'alabas v'achel shenitma bein b'shogim bein b'mezit. Bein bonus bein b'ratzon, bein b'yachid, bein b'tzibur. This braisa says that tzitz has efficacy for all karbanos. And look at those last four words of the braisa. Bein b'yachid, bein b'tzibur. Whether it's a carbon yachid, whether it's a carbon tzibur. Now we have a problem. Because that, not a problem. But now it's very good. Right, it's very good for Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says tuma dechuya b'tzibur, so it's very good. Meaning tuma is only pushed off. But if there's an avenue, if there's escape hatch, if there's a way and there's a means of us trying to get around the tuma, so let's do it. So here there is a means. It's called the tzitz. That's your means. These akadama tuma heter hibet sibor. Now, if you subscribe to the Rav Nachman viewpoint of tuma hushar bet sibor lama lilaritzuye, why do I need the ritzui hatzitz? I don't even need the tzitz. So Rav Nachman will say, okay, I know the braisa is more difficult for me, but okay, I'll sidestep the braisa as well. Because when the braisa says that the tzitz is meratzeh, it's going specifically on the carbon yachid, not on the carbon tzibur. Meaning you're going to have to segment the braisa. You're going to have to take the braisa and divide it into parts. The part that when the braisa says tzibur, carbon tzibur, I didn't even need the tzitz. Tumah hutra b'tzibur. It's only on the yachid where then the braisa, that's what the braisa was talking about, where I need the tzitzis and maratzim. Ibai sema fila tema b'tzibur banach tulo kvila izman. Or another solution to the braisa would be, yes, we're talking about carbon tzibur that is not time bound. Like what we described just a couple of moments ago, the partial of avodah zarah. Right, that's a carbon tzibur, but not time bound. Meisvei, the Gemara is going to quote another braisa. Benasarun asavona kadashim. Aaron will be able to shoulder the avona kadashim, the sin of karbanos. What sin? The chiyezavon who knows the imavon pigol harik farnemar lo yiratzeh. The Torah by pigol says explicitly lo yiratzeh. The imavon knows harik farnemar lo yichashev. And by nosar also the Torah says lo yichashev. Top of Zayin Amadeh ha'eno nose ela avon tuma. Shehutra michala b'tzibur. So which of the disqualifications answers the braisa? It's tuma. And do you know what makes tuma different? Because, and these are the key words, hutra michala b'tzibur. Because we do find under certain circumstances where the Torah gives a pass on tuma. Specifically when it's a carbon tzibur and it's kavuazman. I added those words. But when it's a carbon tzibur and it's kavuazman, so then the tzitz will... I'm sorry, not the tzitz. Sorry, not yet. Then there's a pass on tuma. Tuma now becomes mutter. And do you see the words of the braisa? Ela avon tuma shehutra michlala b'tzibur. The words of the braisa is hutra. So Rav Nachman says, perfect. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. That because tuma is hotra b'tzibur, so therefore, and now I know that the tzitz creates a ritzui, so which disqualification do you think it's creating a ritzui for? It's creating a ritzui for tuma. Now I ask the obvious question, well, wait a second, why do I need the tzitz to be meratzeh? Don't we say tuma hotra b'tzibur? No, that's exactly the point. Because tuma hotra b'tzibur, so now tuma, by any other scenario, by a carbon yachid, by a carbon tzibur that doesn't have kviyas zman, so now the tzitz will come in order to create the ritzui. Why tuma? Because we do find that the Torah provides an exception to tuma, and that is by tzibur. The wording of hutra is wonderful for Rav Nachman. What's Rav Sheshes going to do? Kashal or Rav Sheshes? That's difficult for Rav Sheshes. So here, it's funny, we've been beating up on Rav Nachman the entire Amud Aleph. And Rav Nachman had to defend himself the entire Amud Aleph, and he did. Here now, one braisa, but it's strong in support of Rav Nachman, strong against Rav Sheshes, Tanaihi. So the Gemara says, okay, it's machlokas Tanaihi. Meaning that's what Rav Sheshes will have to answer. Because look, the braisa does say it. The braisa says, Toma hutra michlala b'tzibur. So Rav Sheshes will say now in his defense, Detanya tzitz ben sheyeshna ametzcha, I'm sorry. So what the Gemara is saying in defense of Rav Sheshes, it's machlokas Tanaihi. And how do I see that from the following? Detanya. Now, the tzitz creates an efficacy. It shoulders the avon hamikdash. And now we know, avon here meaning tuma. Does the Kohen Gadol have to be wearing the tzitz? in order for it to work? Well, the Torah doesn't say. Torah is not clear. Torah just simply says when nasa Aaron is avona kadoshim, that the tzitz is able to shoulder. So the Tanaim are arguing whether or not the Kohen has to be wearing the tzitz in order for the tzitz to gain acceptance. So bein sheyesh no amitzcha, bein sheyesh no amitzcha. Meratza div Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon's argument is tzitz doesn't have to be worn by the Kohen. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Odeh Mitzchah Meratzeh Ein Odeh Mitzchah Ein Meratzeh, and Rabbi Yehuda says no, Kohen has to be wearing it. Amar lo Rabbi Shimon, so Rabbi Shimon says to Rabbi Yehuda, how about the following? Kohen Gadol B'Yom HaKippurim Yochiach, I have to be right. The Kohen Gadol doesn't have to be wearing the tzitz in order for it to gain acceptance. Why? Why do I have to be right? Because let's take a look now at the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. She'eno de'al mitzchah, he's not wearing the tzitz. Now, why isn't he wearing the tzitz? We all know why. We're going to see this a number of times throughout our Masechta. Because the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is not wearing his regular Kohen Gadol Begadim. Now, he does every now and then change into his Kohen Gadol Begadim, but when it comes to do the Avodas Yom HaKippurim in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he's removing all of the gold, and he's only wearing lavan, he's only wearing white, which means that he's not wearing the tzitz. And we know that in the event that there's tumah on Yom Kippur, we're going to bypass the tumah. How are we going to bypass the tumah? Using the method of the tzitz. Now, and Amar lo Rav Yehuda, that's all Rabbi Shimon. Amar lo Rav Yehuda, hanach lekohen gadol b'yom kippur shetumah hotcho lo b'tzibur. So Rav Yehuda says, Yom Kippur, kohen gadol, you don't need the tzitz because tumah hotcho b'tzibur. Okay, that's the exchange, that's the dialogue between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Now, in that dialogue, what are we hearing? We're hearing now that the Nekuna Machlokas, the basic debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, is whether or not Tuma Hutra B'tzibur or Tuma Dechuya B'tzibur. By Rabbi Yehuda countering and saying, you know, in Yom Kippur, you don't even need the tzitz. So what's Rabbi Shimon's position, presumably? No, you do. No, you need the tzitz. Because Tuma's not Hutra B'tzibur. Tumas dechuya b'tzibur. So now Rav Sheshes in his defense will say, look, the brace he quoted on the top of the Amud, you're right, doesn't sound good for me. But look at this exchange between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, and what you see clearly now is that there seems to be a machlok between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon as to whether or not tumah hutra b'tzibur, tumah dechuya b'tzibur. Okay. Now, the Amar Abaye. Abaye now will try to limit this machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Meaning, again, we just saw a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, whether or not the Kohen Gadol needs to be wearing the tzitz. Rabbi Shimon says he does not, and Rabbi Yehuda says he does. Amar Abaye ben Ishmar tzitz to kulei amalo pligi de la maratze. Now, let's say the tzitz is broken. Okay. We all agree. No ritzui. Ki pligi de tali besechta. The tzitz is hanging in the locker room. Okay, I know that's not the right way to say it. Okay, but in other words, hanging on a peg. Rabbi Yehuda Savar Ametzach Vinasa. Rabbi Shimon Savar Tamid L'Ratzon L'Fnei Hashem. So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, this is their point of contention as to whether or not hanging on the peg, not worn by the Kohen Gadol, is it going to be able to burden to shoulder the Avon HaMikdash? So Rabbi Yehuda says, sure. Sorry. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Not if he's not wearing it. Why? Because look at the Pesukim. Ametzach Vinasa. Now that's not a complete pasuk, but in other words, sat next to one another. Ametzach, he wears it on his head, and then the next pasuk is Vinasa, and then it's going to shoulder, it's going to burden the sin of the kachim. So that's a good proof. That's a proof for Rav Yehuda that in order for the tzitz to be meratzeh, the Kohen Gadol has to be wearing it. Rabbi Shimon Savar Tamid L'Ratzon L'Fnei Hashem. The tzitz is there constantly. The tzitz is always in operation. Now, my tamid. What does that mean, always? Ilam etamid al-mitzchah. Does that mean that it's always going to be worn by the Kohen Gadol? Simply impossible. Mi mishkachala. No way the Kohen can wear it all the time. Mi lo baya me'al lebesach. You say, Kohen Gadol's human. Kohen Gadol has to go to the bathroom. Cannot wear the tzitz into the bathroom. O mi lo baya me'inam. Kohen Gadol also needs to sleep. Kohen Gadol cannot wear the tzitz while sleeping. Ela tamid meratzehu. So when the Torah describes the tzitz as being a tamid l'ratzon, it's constant ritzui, it must mean that it constantly works. cannot mean it's constantly worn by the Kohen Gadol. It's physically impossible. His bathroom breaks, his time for sleeping, can't wear it all the time. So when the Torah says Tamid, by that it means it's constantly working. It always will provide a Ritzui. Now, Mila Baimen Ela Tamid Ratzahu. Well, Rav Yehuda Nami Haksiv Tamid. And so now here we go with our back and forth, with our standard back and forth. Really, we have a machlok between Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, but really, we have a machlok amongst the psukim. Meaning that one pasuk seems to indicate that tzitz is always working. Another pasuk indicates no, only when the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz is it going to work. So if you're in one camp, what are you going to do with the other pasuk? So let's say Ula Rav Yehuda Nami Haksiv Tamid. So according to Rav Yehuda, doesn't Torah say Tamid? How would Tamid Shelo Yasiach Tamimenu? So the Gemara says, you know what Tamid means? Tamid means that while you're wearing the tzitz, you need to have no hesech hadas. You can't have any interruption in thought. Your mind has to be on the tzitz while wearing the tzitz. Kidrava Baravuna Dam Rava Baravuna Chayavad Mamashmesh Bitfilov Bechosha'a Vesha Kavachomer Mitzitz. And now the Gemara turns this into, for us, what would be halach lamasa, which is that Rabbi Rav Huna says that just like by the tzitz, the Kohen has to have his mind on it all the time, same thing is true by tefillin. Chayv adam lamashmesh b'tefillah. Literally it means that you have to be constantly adjusting, moving around your tefillin, right? Putting your hand on your tefillin, so b'chol shav v'shav, every moment, kal v'chomer mitzitz, and that's a kal v'chomer from tzitz. Now, by the way, what's the kal v'chomer? Meaning, which one has more kedusha? You know the answer. The tefillin. The tefillin has more kedusha. Tefillin worn by you and I have more kedusha than tzitz worn by the Kohen Gadol. Sure. How many times is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name mentioned on the tzitz? That would be just one time. What about tefillin? How many shemos are there on tefillin? I don't know the number. Right? Countless of shemos on the tefillin. And the tefillin itself also produces a shame, meaning the shin, the dal, the yud produced by the knots. But more than that, though, the shame was contained in the tefillin, meaning in the parshios and the dal parshios that are in the tefillin. So you have countless shemos that are mentioned over there. So if by the tzitz there could be no hesech hadas, if by the tzitz there is a din of tamid, which means that your mind must constantly be on the tefillin, sorry, on the tzitz, so achas kama v'kama, where you have the tefillin that has shemos v'shemos v'kadosh baruch hu, so how much more so there has to be a constant state of awareness of the tefillin. Umat sits on the top of Ches Amarav. Umat sits shein bo ela askara achas amar Torah mitzchot tamid shelo yasich da'ato mimenu tefillin sheyesh behem askaros harbe al achas kama v'kama. The Gemara just simply spells out the kal v'chomer. Good. That's what you're going to do with the tamid. So in other words, in defense of Rav Yehuda, the tzitz only works when it's worn by the Kohen Gadol. The Torah says tamid. Tamid just simply means that when he wears it, he has to be in a constant state of mind that he's wearing his tzitz. The Gemara describes, the Gemara will describe that the Kohen Gadol had wore his tzitz and wore his tefillin, shalrosh. He wore both. The Gemara there describes how there was room that the tzitz is worn on the front of his forehead so that there'd be room for the tefillin to be worn on top of it. Is there maybe I don't remember. I only have my memory tells me that he wore it, but that's just my memory. And these are covered. Okay, right. Right. Okay, fine. All right. Fine. So I hear you. So the Aitosos. So the Rav Shimon Damar Tamin Meratze Haksev Amitzchav and Asav. No, we're just going to go a little bit further just to finish this thread of thought. V'Haksev Amitzchav. I'm sorry. Well, the Rav Shimon Damar Tamin Meratze V'Haksev Amitzchav and Asav. So now we go back to Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon says, I'm confused. Meaning that again, Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that it works all the time. Why? Because it says Tamid. Yeah, but doesn't the Torah also say that he wears it on his forehead? And then the Torah goes on to say, and it's going to provide a nasa, it's going to shoulder the avonos. So how likvol makom hudasa? So the Gemara says, no, that's just likvol makom. That's just to establish a particular place. Rav Yehuda Likvola makam minale. So the Gemara says, okay, and for Rav Yehuda, how do we know where to wear it? So the Gemara says, nafklei me'al mitzcho. So he says, al mitzcho on his meitzach. Rabbi Shimon nami typically me'al mitzcho. Now Rabbi Shimon, he's right. The Torah does say al mitzcho. So Rabbi Shimon says, okay, good. He's right. So Ella al mitzcho v'nasa mayavilei. So what does Rabbi Shimon do with the smichas parshios, where it sounds like from the parsha that al meitzach and nasa avon go hand in hand, and only when he wears it is it going to work? So hamilcha roy la meitzach meratzah shen eratz la meitzach en meratzah la'afuke nishmaratzah still a meratzah. So Rabbi Shimon's going to argue. He's going to say, look, it doesn't mean that he has to wear it. It means that he could wear it. As long as there's a potential for him to be able to wear it, meaning it's one piece, so then it's going to provide a ritzui. But if he cannot wear it, meaning it's broken, so then it's not going to create a ritzui. Well, Rav Yehuda nishbar tzitz menale. So now, according to Rav Yehuda, a broken tzitz, how do I know that the kohen can't wear it? Nafkalei mi meitzach mitzcho. So what Rav Yehuda will generate that halacha from the fact that the Torah could have said meitzach, instead it says mitzcho. So we now have a double drasha. Meitzach tells us location. Mitzcho, the extra vav, tells us that it has to be in one piece. Rabbi Shimon Meitzach Mitzcho l'mashmalei, and Rabbi Shimon says, no, I don't subscribe to such a drasha of Meitzach Mitzcho. Okay, I mean, all clothing had to be fit, so I don't know. Unsure. Okay, just one quick point before we finish up. And the Kornfeld speaks about it in the daf today. It's such an interesting discussion. The Gemara says flatly that while you're wearing your tefillin, so you have to have your mind on it at all times. So, and you cannot have hesach hadas while wearing your tefillin. So what exactly does that mean, that you cannot have a hesach hadas? So he quotes the Rush, he quotes the Rabbeinu Yonah, that that we know the Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah says that you can't take a short nap when you are wearing your tefillin. So, I'm sorry, you can't take a long nap when wearing your tefillin, but a short nap would be fine. You want to close your eyes for a second, that's fine. That's the Gemara in Sukkah. We're going to see it together in the daf, not the long from now. So anyway, so Rabbeinu Yonah says, so short nap, so you're unconscious. Okay? And that's not a hesach hadas. So the way Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rush understand hesach hadas means that you can't be silly, you can't be frivolous while you're wearing your tefillin. That's what it means, that it said that chayav adam lamashmesh tefillin means that you have to have an awareness, a recognition that you're wearing your tefillin, and a hesach hadas just simply means that that you can't be silly while you're wearing your tefillin. So a short nap is fine. But a long nap you can't do, because that's another issue. That's Shem Yafiach. So you may pass some gas. But a short nap would be fine. And Rabbeinu Yonah says, and if you take a look at the Rambam sounds like he understands Hesach Hadas that way. That you can't be silly while you're wearing your tefillin. The Rambam, I don't have the Rambam here in front of me, but the Rambam basically says that when a person's wearing his tefillin, he's now in a higher level of Kedusha, the Rambam writes, and that he cannot, once he's wearing his tefillin, he can't engage in any type of idle chatter, sichas chulin, meaning you have to be more serious when you're wearing your tefillin. So the hesach hadas requirement over here is just simply that it has nothing to do with being distracted from your tefillin. You could be distracted from your actual tefillin. It just simply means you can't be silly. You have to be more serious when you're wearing it. So that is one understanding of what it means. Another understanding, and this is the Ramban. So the Ramban says that hesach hadas means is that you have to actually be aware of your tefillin. You have to be concentrating on your tefillin. This is a more difficult position to understand. What does that mean? You have to be aware of your tefillin. Meaning a state of awareness always is hard to achieve, especially if we're talking about the wearing of tefillin, that you have to be, in other words, usually after you're wearing something for some time, you kind of lose track of it. But that's maybe what the Gemara means when it says Chayav Adam LaMashmesh B'Tefillin. You have to actually fidget with your tefillin every now and then, because you have to. This Hesach Hadas means that you can't divert your attention from the tefillin itself. You have to be aware of the tefillin. So basic machlokes amongst the Rishonim in terms of what the Gemara means over here when the Gemara says that you cannot have a Hesach Hadas while wearing the tefillin. So okay. Right. We have adopted this position that we don't wear the tefillin the whole day. Right. Part of the reason why is because it's for us. It's just easier. It's easier to have a hesach hadas on the tefillin. Okay. Just quickly wrapping it up now. What prompted today's discussion was the question of the Gemara: why not have a visit? Why not be worried that a visitor to the Kohen will just simply die during his visitation? So the Gemara gives one of two answers, but the answer which led us to have our whole discussion of today's daf was because Tumah Hotra B'Tzibur. Okay, so he died. So what? Tumah Hotra B'Tzibur, which then led the Gemara to a long discussion of whether Tumah Hotra B'Tzibur, Tumah Dechuya B'Tzibur, turns into a machlokas amoraim between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. Rav Nachman says Tumah Hotra B'Tzibur, Tumah Dechuya B'Tzibur. Most of our daf today were proofs back and forth against Rav Nachman, against Rav Sheshes, for Rav Nachman, for Rav Sheshes, and the Gemara ended up concluding that not only is it a machlokas amoraim, it's also a machlokas tanaim as well. Machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, by the Kohen Gadol wearing it sits, will it create an efficacy even while he's not wearing it? That's another that's a machlok between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. And part of the counter argument of Rabbi Yehuda is, well, look, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, he's not wearing his tefillin, and it works. I'm sorry, Rabbi Shimon says, and to which Rabbi Yehuda says, Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur, Toma Hutra B'Tzibur, and Rabbi Shimon's obvious counterpoint would be, no, I don't agree. Not Toma Hutra B'Tzibur, but rather Toma Dechuya B'Tzibur. So once again, this Machlokas Amaraim turns into Machlokas Tanaim of whether Toma's Hutra or Dechuya B'Tzibur. Okay.